I don't intend to talk about that much. I just had the ha'ara. I thought it's a very interesting ha'ara. I'm coming to Esav. It's not my chiddush in the sense that I'm the first one that discovered America, but it's just an interesting. It's a ha'ara that's kedai for everybody to notice. The perek, the parasha starts by Yishlach Yaakov Malachim Lefonov El Esav Ochiv, right? By Itzav Osam Lemor Kosom Run Ladoni Le'Esav. So if it wouldn't be for these words, perhaps we could have some other interpretation. But the words are speaking for themselves loud and clear. That these following words that Yaakov is about to say are exactly the words that the Malachim Shlichim, slash Shlichim, are supposed to tell whom? Kosom Run Ladoni Le'Esav. Why is that so important? So what exactly are they supposed to tell him? Ko amar avdecha Yaakov, im lovon garti vo echar ad otav. Vahi lishor vachamar tzon ve'eved v'shivcha, vo eshlecha lahagid ladoni, lim tzochein ve'enecha. Im lovon garti, Rashi. Loina aseisi sar v'choshuv elo ger. Ein cho kedai lisno osi al birchus avicho sheberchani heve gvir la'achecho sharei loinis kaima bi. So far, why he uses the Lashon Garti is crystal clear. He's explaining to him that I never amounted to all that much and therefore do not have any tarumbus against me. The bottom line is the bracha was not mekuyim. Davar acher, garti begimatria taryag, kloimer, im lovon harosha garti, the taryag mitzvah shamarti, v'lo lamadeti mima'asov haroim. Correct? So the Ikar Sifsei Chachamim implicitly asked the question, and so do many others for him, but just it's a remarkable thing. And I had a suggestion. Why in the world should that be relevant to Esav? Im lo vangarti v'taryag mitzvah shamarti. V'lo lamadati mima'asov haroim. So the first approach is obvious. He says, I never amounted to anything. There's no cause to hate me and to resent me, because usually frustration leads to aggression. There's nothing to be frustrated about, because nothing happened. But I say, you're a bigger sire than I am anyhow. So what's the problem? So then there's no reason for you to be silent. But to tell him, Limlovan Garti, Tayag Mitzvah Shamarti, Dover Acher, he's still talking to Esav. So the truth is, if a person wants to, he could say, Dover Acher doesn't mean Bechlal, that his intention was to convey this to Esav. In fact, that Esav should think Tayag is very, very unreasonable. More likely that when the Torah is written, and we already know there are Tayag, so we would say Tayag Mitzvah Shamarti. And that's implicit in his words. But to say that that's what I convey to Esav is conveyed the first pshat. But he could have used maybe a slightly different lashon or a different formulation of the same concept that he got nowhere and he wasn't the sar. He could have said loy nasesi sar, oy melech, I'm just a commoner. So he used the word garti because to us that also says something very profound about his survival in the house of Lavan intact with all of his principles.
The same. Don't mess with me.
That's what the Sifsei Chachamim answers. But what I'm saying is, before you answer the question with an answer, you might say the question's not a question. Because it doesn't mean that the point of Garti, Vitaryak, Mitzvah, Shamarti should be conveyed to Esav. It's the diuk in the way he used the Lashon that we are interested in, but not that Esav would be interested in. From Esav's point of view, all Esav is hearing is that he didn't become a sar. But we are hearing, number one, that he didn't become a sar, which is his taina to Esav, and number two, what he explains about himself, between the lines, which is Nogea to the Hatzlocha of Yaakov and his Masaira to his descendants, is that even if you end up having to live in the house of Lavan, you are not necessarily going to be corrupt if you have the fortitude that Yaakov Avinu had and the commitment to the Ribbono Shel Olam. So again, it doesn't have to be something that you're explaining to Esav. What if it is? So the Sifsei Chachomim, there are others from that have slightly different explanations, that there's something about him, Lavan Garti, V'Taryag Mitzvah Shamarti, V'lo Lamarti Ma'asev Royim, that Esav needs to hear. So the Sifsei Chachomim says, Esav needs to hear that I have a tremendous Hatzlocha, and the Hatzlocha is based on Siyata Dishmaya, and you don't start up with a person who has Siyata Dishmaya, because you're not going to win. That's what he's telling them. It's like a veiled threat in a certain sense. Or to explain to the person that even though I don't have tanks and long-range missiles, but don't think that I have no weaponry, because I have all the zechuyos that accumulated from Imlov and Garti to Tariyat Mitzvah Shamarti, and therefore don't imagine me to be so vulnerable. And if that's the case, what I'm expecting of Esav is that he should acknowledge any of this to be at all in his vocabulary. Because you could say that if I were Esav, then I would listen to him say Tariyat Mitzvah Shamarti and have myself a good laugh. You stupid fool, you could be enjoying life and having a good steak, you know, so to speak, for breakfast, and instead, you know, Tariyat Mitzvah Shamarti, what an idiot, you know. So that could be Esav's response, you know. Mechatei said that Esav gets nervous, that Esav gets afraid or gets frightened, is scared from Tariyat Mitzvah Shamarti. But I would like to make perhaps another suggestion.
But that, just on the first chat, doesn't Yaakov give him all these presents and all this stuff? So shouldn't that show that he did get rich?
Yeah, but you see, on the first chat, the first chat, I'll tell you what it is. You know, you have in those countries where they have peerage, you know, where they have sir and baron and duke. You know, in America, you don't have any of these things. So, but even in America, you know, there's the Kennedy family, you know, the Clinton era, Clintons. So what's the pshat? Pshat has nothing to do with money. Money, after a certain point, has to do with covet. And covet can sometimes come from money, but usually that's not enough, because a commoner can become wealthy, and he can still be a commoner. And a melech can be poor, but he's a melech. What he's saying is that in Lavan Garti, I never became a big shot in the Lavan world where I was living for so many decades now. I'm the same nobody, even though I'm extremely wealthy. It's like Moshele Mahadovadoyme, all these people threw money at Madoff. You know why? Not because they just wanted to make money. Because they wanted to make money, they could have perhaps invested with Warren Buffett or other people
sure
too. Because Madoff had a mahalach. He didn't take money from everybody. In order for you to give him money, you had to beg, cajole, and coax, and you had to be with the big shots. Same thing, you can't get into a golf club, you know, country club, what they call a country club. What's a country club? It's a Litzanus. You go to the pool, You play polo, you play tennis, you play golf. What is a country club? It's a, but the fact that it's an exclusive, and that only the Hoiche Fenster, or you're a member of a club in Boston or in Manhattan, you know, and you know, you can't get in. And Jews couldn't get into certain places. It suddenly became very chashuv. They should get into it, Rachmana Litzlan. Because it's nothing to do with money. The Jew could have had millions and millions of dollars, but he wants to be part of that club. He wants to be on the inside of the Hoiche Fenster, of the big shots. So when a person is like that, then the other fellow can get jealous of him, because that's his value. Esav wants to be a Sar and a Melech. So therefore, when he tells him, Garti, it's true I'm very wealthy, but what did it get me? I never got to the peerage. I never became a duke. So that apparently appeases an Esav. That's what Rashi's saying between the lines. So of course he's giving him a don. He says, Vahili shor v'chamar tzon de'eved v'shivcha. But let's get back to Imlovan Garti, the Taryag Mitzvah Shamarti, the Lola Marati Mimaisav Haroim. I think that the simplest explanation, if indeed this is what he wants Esav to hear, is that Yaakov is not competing with Esav. Because he's not into Esav's Olam Hazeh. And let me explain to you what I mean a little bit more precisely. What Yaakov could have become is a competition to Esav, because he became an Esav in Lavan's house. Now you have to understand, the desire to kill Yaakov, Yikruvu Yemei Evel Avi Vaharga, you know, as Yaakov Ochi, this desire comes from the frustration and the anger that accumulated between the Bechorah and the Bracha, and the sense of Yaakov's being the favorite, of course, of Rivka, but maybe even in the end of Yitzchak as well. So there's nothing that could be Ma'ir Kina as much as that. But it was a combination of all three. The Bechorah, number one, the bracha, number two, and the sense that Yaakov Gam Baruch Yiyah is really the favorite. That's Bamed Dvarim Amurim. I mean, how long does that last? Until Esav kind of reconciles himself to it and realizes that none of that stuff is in any case relevant to him, and that he's Baruch Hashem, quote unquote, doing very well without any of it. The Bechaira he doesn't need, because whatever positives, he's acquired it on his own. Whatever negatives, he doesn't intend to be a religious person. He doesn't want it. He doesn't want the responsibility of Bechaira. Bracha, Tal Shemai Mishmani Oretz, first of all, he got a shtickle bracha anyhow. And in any case, he's doing so extremely well. If he wasn't doing well, it would be a different story. But when there's Arba Meo Sishimo, so you understand that he had an empire by that time. So it doesn't bother him. What would bother him? The current competition of Yaakov Avinu. That's what would bother him. So Yaakov says to him, I remained the same yeshiva bachar. Because the chashash of Esav was that he would have gone to the school of Lavan. And in the school of Lavan, he would have shed all of his pretenses of being a tzaddik. And in the school of Lavan, he would have learned the ways of Esav, and now he becomes an alternative to Esav, a competition with Esav. And he wants also the power and the glory of Olam Hazeh. And the Mela, all of the Shvatim and everything else that he has, this is all evidence of extraordinary success in Olam Hazeh. Vahili Shor V'chamor. But what he says before he says Vahili Shor V'chamor is that you should know, with all of the Shor V'chamor, Taryag Mitzvah Shamarti, Lo Lamadati Mimaisav Haroyin, and I'm the same Yaakov Schlepper, Chayvesh Beis HaMedrash, that I was before I went to Lavan, and Lavan did not improve me in the Esav direction. So therefore, there's no competition. We are still worlds apart, and it's no different than when I was Vayigdulan Orim, Vahi Esav Ish Yodei Atzayid, V'Yakov Ish Tam Yoshiv Aholim. That same difference, that same chiluk that is clearly from Shnei Goyim Bevitneich, has not changed even one iota on account of Lavan's, the Lavan experience, Lavan's hashpa, because there wasn't any. There was no hashpa. And really, when you think about it, You might want to wonder about something else. Vayirav Yaakov miyod vayetzer lo. Right? They come back and they say that we went to him, and you should know that he's coming towards you. And Arba Meyosishimo. So he thought that he'd go to him, and Esav would say, oh, that's wonderful, and send him my regards. But when he hears Gam Holech Lekroscha, Arba Meyosishimo, Vayirav Yaakov miyod, Vayetzer lo. says Rashi, Vayira Shema Yehareg, and Vayetzelo Im Yarog Hu Esacher. Then he goes in Rav Esavel Machne Achaz Veiko Vechulu Vaya Amachne Nishlo Pleita, and then he davens Litfila, right? Lidoron Ol Muhammad, so he davens Vayoy Me Yaakov Elikei Avi Avraham Velikei Avi Yitzchak Hashem Omer Elai Shuv La'atzcho Matcho Veitiva Imoch Katonti Mikol Achasadim Umikol Ha'emes Asher Asisa Es Avdecha Kivu Makli Avarti Es Hayardin Azeh Va'ato Hayisi Lishnei Machanos. Says Rashi, very famous Rashi, of course. Katonti mikol hachasodim, nismatu zechuyosai al yedei hachasodim v'ho'emes shasisa imi. Lekach ani yorei shema mi shehiftachtani nislachlachti b'cheit v'yigrom li lehimoser b'yad Esav. So this is the expression shema yigrom hacheit katonti mikol hachasodim. Mikola emes, amitas dvarecho, sheshamartu li kol haftochos shehiftachtani. I wanted to suggest something. That included in this is the siyata d'shmaya of imlovan garti v'taryag mitzvah shamarti. What I mean to say is that, Yaakov Avinu had a certain, if I'm right, I'm not sure that I could swear to it, but I have a hergish about something. Yaakov Avinu has a certain intuition or a certain perspective about his hatzlocha with in the house of Lavan on a spiritual level, and I think that here you have an appreciation of what humility is. You see, a person can come out of the house of Lavan free and clear of any of the sakana of what Lavan could have done to him, and then easily pat himself on the back and say, Ribbono Shel Olam, look what I did for you. I went into the fire and I came out unscathed. So you owe me. Ribbono Shel Olam, I remain true to you through thick and thin. I could have 1,000 times, and I'll tell you even better than that. Somebody has an opportunity and he accomplishes an unbelievable Kiddush Hashem. Now everybody knows that just like Chilul Hashem is not Mechuper Adshe Temusim and is a horrible Aveira for which there's tremendous Onesh. So Mida Toiva Meruba Mimida Saparanias. If a person performs a tremendous Kiddush Hashem, then he has unbelievable Schar. Because and especially if it requires great Mesiras Nefesh. Now, comes along a Lavan. He's the biggest thief and he's the biggest cheat. And the question is, how will Yaakov Avinu respond in such a situation? So, im Lavan Garti, v'lola Madati, it's not just lola Madati. It's when I was put into the Nisayon and the predicament of legitimately, perhaps, claiming what belongs to me by right, and was stolen from me, or denied to me, or cheated from me by a Lavan Harasha. I took the high road every single time. And Ribbono Shel Olam, I created because of that a tremendous Kiddush Hashem. That's why the Rambam calls me, that's why I'm saying that in the Lashon of Yaakov Avinu to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's why the Rambam, thousands of years later, is going to call me Yaakov HaTzadik at the end of Hilchos Chirus. Because I was Oved B'chol Koichi in spite of everything. And that is an unbelievable Kiddush Hashem for all the Dairis. So don't I deserve that you should keep your promise to me? That's one perspective. The perspective of humility is, Ribbono Shel Olam, how did I ever manage to survive the house of Lavan? It's not humanly possible. So you protected me and you gave me the right thoughts and you gave me the fortitude to withstand Lavan's onslaught. And the intelligence and the capacity to believe in you to such an extent that I never succumbed. So I owe you everything, because without that siyata d'shmaya, I couldn't possibly have overcome the hashpa of Lavan's house. and the natural instinct. If that's the case, katonti mikol hachasod includes the im lavan garti the tayeg mitzvah shamarti, and that's maybe the greatest of the katontis of all. So it's very remarkable that, you know, a lot of times you can become, you know, you can be full of braggadocio, you know, full of bravado. You could say, you know what I'm capable of? I'm capable of mamish, the biggest tzidkas. But any true tzaddik, any isha emes says, Rabbanu Shel Olam, I know that I never would have made it without you. Not even a mashu of what I've become, or a mashu of my avodas Hashem. I have to attribute that itself to you.
So why is he a tzaddik?
What?
Why is he a tzaddik? Why is Yaakov a tzaddik if he got help? I mean,
yeah, because you see, habol atayim esayim lo. And when it comes to Yetzer Hara, you could have all the help in the world. In the final analysis, you did it. That's what I always say. Yirah Shamayim, since Hakol Bidei Shamayim, Chutz Miyirah Shamayim, in the end, all you can have is Siyata D'Shamayim. I'm saying that because that's true, it's very easy to attribute it to yourself. It's interesting. In you know, we want that people should understand that even though they do Hishtadlus, but in Parnasa, you know, it comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If once you're a mamin, it's much harder to pat yourself on the back that you became rich than to pat yourself on the back that you became a tzaddik, or you remained a tzaddik. Precisely for this reason, because if you're a mamin, you say, I don't have to be smart to be rich. There are plenty of very stupid people that became wealthy. And I don't have to be working yoimam v'layla hayisi v'yom achalani chay v'kar b'layla to become wealthy, because there are plenty of loafers that the money just seems to be falling from heaven. And I believe truly that in spite of my hishtadlus, it all is really from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So if I believe that, or like the Orach Chaim says on the pasuk as ha'ani imach, that the ani's money is with you, that's why you have so much money, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu made you their gizbar. So if HaKadosh Baruch Hu is doing all of that, where am I coming to take credit for it? I built the company. You know, many times, you know, we built this incredible shul. It's really an incredible shul. It's a gorgeous, gorgeous building. And it's on a 50 by 100 lot, which is bupkis. It's nothing. And it looks like this humongous building, which has, you know, four useful floors and a tremendous architectural triumph. It really is. It's a gorgeous shul. So somebody comes and says, boy, Rabbi Khan, you built such a shul? What did you single-handedly? I said, I built nothing. What do you mean I built the shul? I didn't do anything. I put in a tremendous amount of time, a tremendous amount of effort. I'm not denying the actual, but you know that people can put in time and effort and they could end up with nothing. HaKadosh Baruch Hu built the shul. That's why it looks the way it does. And this is not a frumkeit, this is not a religion on my lapel. This is so clear to me. It's as clear to me as when I bang on this table. You know, physics may say it's full of space, but when I hit the table, it's as hard as a rock. You know, that's it. That's what I see, and that's what I know. That the Eibishter built the shul. When it comes to Ruchnius, ironically, you can sometimes delude yourself into thinking because it's only Siyata Dishmaya, and not what. The Hashem makes it all happen, that really you are a big knacker. You know, I finished Shas and I withstood temptation and I was able to be honest when everybody else was a ganav and a gazlan, and on and on. So the Teretz says no. A person who has humility says Eino chanami. But since without that siyata d'shmaya that attended every move you made, it might not have happened. So your chiyuv to be makir toiva to HaKadosh Baruch Hu is overriding. And you have to know that if HaKadosh Baruch Hu would not be be'ezrai, then he would not be able to withstand the Yetzer Hara. Lulei HaKadosh Baruch Hu be'ezrai. And that's why we constantly plead with HaKadosh Baruch Hu for siyata d'shmaya. That's the point, that the Birka Shmuel was crying tears, heavy tears. I wouldn't use the word bitter tears, but heavy tears. He was wailing when it came to Atachonin Lodom Das, because he wanted the Ribbono Shlom to give him Siyata Dishmaya for his learning. When a person has that kind of approach, he can't possibly have vanity. When a Talmud Chacham has vanity, he's mispoyer al kachzik toivah la'atzmucha ki l'kach not sarta, just the beginning. Because really, even your achievement, l'kach not sarta means, that's what Hashem gave you all these koichos for, so what are you being so proud of? He gave you the koichos to begin with. But it's far more than that. In the act itself, in the process of living, in the derech of life, HaKadosh Baruch Hu keeps pulling away all the stumbling blocks and paves the path. And if he doesn't do that, then you could make all the effort in the world, but it's not going to happen. So therefore, it's that and that's HaPolitai Mesayin Lo and Pischuli Pesach Kechudo Shomachat. What we do really is only Kechudo Shomachat. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu says that's the difference between Parnosa and Ruchnius. In Ruchnius, in the end, you have to do it yourself. But that does not mitigate or minimize in any way the massive amount of Siyata Deshmaya that anyone who's Matzliach has. And the biggest proof is that you could take two people who are almost identical in the elementary school days, and you look 20, 25 years later, and you see one person is really Moli Ruchnius and has a beautiful Torah Dikah Mishpach, and the other guy somehow got frittered away. I had a chaver. I think he lives now in Shanghai, China. I don't think that he's married, and if he is, Rachmana Litzlan to whom? He was married, and he was divorced, and he was a genius. I remember that when he was learning, he was mamish. Very rare that somebody left the fold, as it were, so late. Usually kids, they kind of get stuck, and they never learn seriously, and they go off the derech. But that somebody should go off the derech after becoming a lamdan in his mid-20s, that's already a very big chiddush, especially if he's a lamdan, because Torah is beautiful. Whatever the reason is, this person did not have siyata d'shmaya. He didn't fall into the right hands, he wasn't in the right place at the right time. Even his hatzlocha, he got himself a PhD in no time flat. And that was a terrible chasaron. The person became very vain about his possibilities, and he didn't have a chance to stay in the yeshiva longer because, you know, his life moves on. And whatever it is. But in any case, if you don't have that siyata d'shmaya, you could have all of the possibilities in the world, and they don't have to become realities. So I think that's what he was saying in his katonti, also includes in Vav Gayati v'Taryag Mitzvah Shamarti, not lahefach. I have all these zechuyos, so Ribbono Shel Olam, you owe me. It's katonti mikol hachasodim, including the siyata d'shmaya. And in the kib v'makli Va'ato Yisli Shnei Machanis includes the Ruchnius too. You think Shnei Machanis doesn't include Ruchnius? It just means a bunch of people. He has a bunch of people, like Esav has a bunch of people. It's the Ruchnius that he's talking about. Katayti Mikol HaChasod Mikol HaEmes. And that's why, I think one more thing I just want to add. Take 3 seconds. He says Katayti Mikol HaEmes is a stira minei ubei. Why? Why is it a stira? Because emes mean, why is it called, why is chasodim, why is emes? Chasodim is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu did from extra, and emes is the haftocha of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Well, you make a haftocha, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you keep the haftocha, you're not lover. If you're keeping your haftocha, why do I have to say katanti? That's the teretz. Because siyata d'shmaya, the haftocha is siyata d'shmaya, that's what it is. So keeping the haftocha does not in any way minimize my humility that I don't deserve it. See, somebody can promise you something because you're the best worker in the world and because you are the number one of number ones. And then he said, you know why he promised it to me? Because he knows that without me, the whole company is going to fall apart. So of course he's giving me a massive salary and a beautiful house and a fancy car. Because he knows if he doesn't give me these trappings, out I go. But Yaakov Avinu says, katonti mikol ha'emes. That even when HaKadosh Baruch Hu keeps his haftocha to me, I'm not deserving of it. That's a remarkable madrega of anivus, of anova, of midas ha'anova. Okay. As a Hashem, we will continue on.
Back to what hatred did Yaakovina have to look for love and if the money is going to Arodi Zorah?